Dear fellow redeemed, our portion of God's word for Good Friday is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. These are God's words before us today. Dear fellow redeemed, our portion of God's word this evening for Good Friday comes from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. These are the words of God. Today's the day. We've all heard that sentence before. Our reaction to that depends on the day that we're talking about. And typically, we express our reaction with the tone of how we say it or the emphasis that we give it. If you're going to the dentist's office, you're probably going to say, "Today's the day." If you're going on vacation, you might say it, "Today's the day." Birthdays are one of those days where you might get either reaction. For a little kid, they probably burst out of their bedroom on their birthday and wait for mom and dad to say, "Today's the day." If you're turning 50, though, you might have a different reaction to that day. All of us right now are probably waiting to hear the day that we will be unlocked from our quarantines and be able to resume normal life again. We'll probably wait to say with one another, "Today's the day." In our last midweek Lenten service, Pastor Libby talked about that day from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, and he compared it to some other famous days in our nation's history. Well, today is that day that God was talking about through Zechariah, Good Friday. This day, a couple thousand years ago, the fountain of spiritual healing and cleansing was opened to the whole world when God's own Son died on the cross to take away our sins. I wonder, what is your reaction to that day? We'll get to that in a moment, but before we answer that, consider this. Zechariah 13, verse 1 is not the only reference by Zechariah to that day. In fact, Zechariah, often speaking in the place of God, singles out a particular day 20 times in his book. And of those 20 times, 17 of them are in these last chapters, beginning with chapter 11 through 14. And 6 of those references are in the chapter that we're considering this evening. We look at what God recorded about this day through his prophet because it helps us better understand, appreciate, and trust what Jesus did for us on that day. So starting in chapter 12, what would happen on that day according to Zechariah? Well, the first 5 references in that chapter, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 9, all talk about God delivering Jerusalem from their enemies. That God would, on the one hand, protect his people, but on the other hand, would destroy anyone who tried to oppose his people. In verse 11, the verse right after our verse for our sermon, God says, "On that day, there will be great mourning and sorrow." In fact, Zechariah compares that sorrow to the Old Testament king Josiah and the day of his death. We're told in the book of 2 Chronicles that on the day that King Josiah was killed in battle, there was great mourning in the land of Judah. And Zechariah makes reference of the very plain, the very battlefield upon which Josiah died. He also says moving into chapter 13, that on that day, a fountain will be opened for sin and uncleanness. Idols will be cut off and destroyed. And false prophets will be exposed and judged. Those are the events portrayed by Zechariah in chapters 12 and 13 about that day that he spends so much time focusing on. And the turning point of that day in our text is the servant who would be pierced in verse 10. As Zechariah said, the only son, the firstborn. This is most clearly speaking of Jesus, who, as God incarnate, was also subjected to pain, punishment, and death at the hands of sinners in order to redeem sinners. Like many of the other Old Testament prophets, and especially with the messianic prophecies, there is a message both about the present and the future. Zechariah's words about that day would fit with the original readers as they sought for God's protection, for God's providence to rest upon the literal city of Jerusalem, deliverance from the enemies that threatened them. But the magnificence of God's prophecies is that they also apply to all believers, to us today, to generations to come after us, what we call spiritual Jerusalem. God protects us today from the threats both to our bodies and our souls. God shames the enemies that would oppose our faith, that would seek to rob us of the hope and comfort that we have in Jesus. And every promise that God gives hinges on the work of Jesus on Good Friday, of Jesus on the cross. Because the only Son was pierced, God himself, the fountain indeed is now open. The idols are discarded. The false teachers are exposed. And we who both brought our Savior to the cross with our sins and also benefit from the mercy he gave us upon it, gaze once more this day upon the one whom we pierced. This is a day of great sorrow as we consider the enormity of what it meant for Jesus to suffer and die in our place. It's also a time of repentance and humility as we recognize that it was also our sins that caused him to have to die there for us. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is not just an event in history, but it is something that continues to impact our lives today. The death of Christ has been given and accomplished, but the results of that all-encompassing sacrifice, the results of that atonement, continue to be just as relevant and beneficial for all people today. The cross never fades from relevancy and therefore can never truly be obscured or overlooked by those who truly believe in Jesus, because on that day the fountain of forgiveness was unlocked and it remains open to all who follow Jesus by faith. Jesus died on this day. That was the cost that it took. Not just for the sins of the people in Zechariah's day, but for our sins as well. And like any other Christian funeral, we gather today not simply to look back on what was, but to also contemplate and understand what will be. That's why the day in Zechariah eventually shifts focus to the final day of our Lord's judgment. And Jesus saw this destiny with complete clarity in his ministry, just as he would tell his disciples three times in his ministry that he would go and suffer and die in Jerusalem and rise again from the dead. So too, every believer knows by faith that the promises of God are not just for this world, but also for the life that is to come. That Jesus' blessings delivered and given for us through his shed blood on the cross do not just impact my life today, but give me the sure and certain hope and promise of eternal life with God in heaven. I have that exact same confidence today. You have that exact same confidence today, just as much as Jesus knew that he would have to go to the cross beforehand. And so Zechariah's final chapter begins by saying, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming." Zechariah is looking ahead. He talked about Good Friday. He's now looking to the day of judgment on that final day of earth. Jesus died upon that cross to bring you much more than just hope and peace in your heart. He died on that cross to give you eternal life forever with God in heaven. And Jesus knew that. Those thoughts were on his heart as he approached the cross. In John chapter 14, we read where Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In verse 19 of that chapter, Jesus also reminded his disciples, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." Jesus knew that day from Zechariah as well. He knew that it meant his suffering and death, but he also knew that it meant that he was going back to heaven to prepare a place for us, that he was going to reign with his Father to be our intercessor and our mediator, ultimately until he comes to bring us home to heaven. That day for Zechariah was both the day of Christ's death and the day of God's eternal deliverance for all believers. And with the crystal clarity of inspiration by God, Zechariah saw this and wrote about this in his prophecy. And he was blessed to do so. And you and I are blessed today as well, because we can see with that same clarity when we hear and receive these words of God. So what is your reaction to that day? Do you think of it with great joy and enthusiasm, pondering the unlimited love and mercy of your Savior? Do you feel sorrow and melancholy, knowing the great cost that it took for Jesus to give you this gift, knowing that your sins caused him to be there also? Well, like many of the other days in our lives, it often depends on what perspective you're coming from. But instead of focusing too much on our reaction to that day, or how we might phrase it, let's think more of how Jesus thought about it. Let's focus more on Jesus's reaction and Jesus's thoughts. Better, more than our perspective, perhaps it's better to see Christ's. Our scripture reading from last weekend reminded us what Christ's reaction to that day was. From Hebrews chapter 12, we're told, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God." That was your Savior's reaction to that day. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Let there be no doubt about how Jesus thinks of you, about how much he loves and cares for you, about how he regards that day of Zechariah when he made you his own. In our second message, we will have the opportunity to dig deeper into this passage from God's Word and see that love of our Savior Jesus. Amen.